This afternoon we will study together Romans 8, verse 26, all the way through to verse 39. We will begin reading these verses together, and I shall begin to read from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to his purpose. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, this afternoon, as we study together Romans chapter 8, written by the Apostle Paul, we will study what is most important and precious for many, many saints, that the ultimate destination of the sainthood of Jesus Christ is to look like Jesus. You see, Romans 8:28 is the crux of the whole gospel and the ultimate destination, that each and every one of the saints must look like Jesus. Let me read this verse again. Very precious promise that we must always deeply imprint them in our heart at all cost, no matter what we go through, whether it is tribulations, whether it is problems, whether it is difficulties. We must never, ever, ever forget that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, my dearly beloved, let us never forget that every single thing that comes across our way as God's born-again children and as God's sheep and his bride, we will ultimately experience that every single thing, good or bad, will come out for our good to his glory. Let us begin analyzing and reading together once again from verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, my dearly beloved, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, once we have decided to believe in Jesus and agreed and acknowledge and confess Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the Holy Spirit will begin to indwell in each and every one of our hearts. As the Lord God promised us, our Lord Jesus says he will send the Holy Spirit as our comforter, as our counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with us forever. Let me read John 14, verse 16 and 17 for you. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome take to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. My dearly beloved, once we are born again of the Spirit of God, the first thing we would experience as we confess our sins and genuinely repent from our heart is the unbelievable divine peace that will fill our heart. That is so peaceful. And all the weight of sins are gone. I remember vividly as I knelt beside the bedside weeping, as the Holy Spirit convicted my heart of sins. I remember thereafter, after a couple hours of weeping, my heart was so peaceful and filled with so much joy. There is just no word that can utter or describe that feeling. That is called the divine peace. You see, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace and joy. For the Word of God tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. All of a sudden, I felt in my heart the love of Christ. Oh, Lord, that is so wonderful, the peace and joy and the faith. And my heart is filled with burning zeal to witness for Jesus. All of those things are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. As he began to indwell in my heart, that is just so amazing. My eyes will begin to see the things of the Spirit. My ears are open unto the voice of my Lord. Just like the Word of God tells us, our Lord Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they follow me. And all of a sudden, I could hear the voice of the Lord, and the Lord could hear me. Isn't that wonderful? That is what happened when you receive the Holy Spirit. All of that weight, all of that burden are gone. And the Lord God will begin to teach me, through the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit, how to pray. I remember vividly, as a baby, once born again of the Spirit of God, we will begin to learn how to pray. And it is not us that pray, it is the Holy Spirit. I remember at one time when I asked a man to confess his sins, and thereafter, once he accepted Jesus Christ, I asked him to pray. And he said, I don't know how. And I said, well, you're going to trust the Holy Spirit to guide you. And all of a sudden, he began to pray smoothly and beautifully. And so thereafter, I asked him, you see, you can pray. Are you amazed? I smile at him because I knew that the Holy Spirit has now come to indwell in that man's heart. My dearly beloved, prayer is of the Spirit. Well, of course, there are those who can pretend, but it is not the same. Prayer of the Spirit is simply beautiful. And when the Spirit speaks through our lips, it is amazing what you could hear from your own ears, you see. So likewise, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now I want to read you what the Amplified Bible writes. Verse 26, let me read that to you. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. My dearly beloved, there are times we go through great difficulties. It is the power of the risen Savior through the presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit that comes to live in our hearts. And all of a sudden we begin to say and utter words beyond our control, beyond the flesh. You see, I remember my teacher, Miss Esther Wong, used to tell me. She told me at one time that she had prepared many, many days for a sermon, out of her own strength, of course. And so on that day when she was about to preach, what was amazing was the very fact that she could not remember what she had prepared. And she had to totally depend on the Holy Spirit who comes and fill her heart and speak and preach that sermon for that day. How amazing, isn't it? And I just realized that the Holy Spirit many times do not want none of us, especially the servants of the Lord, to preach our own words, but rather that the Holy Spirit will fill our mouth and our heart and preach his own words rather than our own words, you see. For that reason, as his servant, I prepare myself before him daily to study his words. However, on the very day that I was supposed to preach the sermon, as I stand on the pulpit, I will petition for the Holy Spirit to take over my body and my tongue and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to fill my heart and preach. And I myself, many times, am very surprised what the Lord would speak through my lips and edifies me and open my spiritual eyes at the same time, so that both the preachers and the hearers would receive edifications. You see, all of those things are the work of the Holy Spirit. Just like it says right here, the Spirit also helps us our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Likewise, there are times when we do not know how to pray in great difficulties, and the Holy Spirit will overtake our body and begin to intercede and pray within our heart and lips to our Heavenly Father. You see, the Holy Spirit is our helper. You see, the Word of God right here, John 14, tells us he is our counselor, our helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. And he remains with us forever. And he's a Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. My dearly beloved, the Holy Spirit that indwelt in my heart many times would wake me up with his voice. Either he would sing a secret hymns, or he would say words that is from the scripture. You see, the Holy Spirit will only speak the word of Jesus. He would not speak anything of the world. Anything that is of the world comes from the power of darkness. Mark it, my dearly beloved, because the Holy Spirit and the word of God, just like Ezekiel chapter 1 tells us, is a wheel within a wheel. You see, the wheel referring to the word of Jesus is a life, and that word is constantly moving in our heart, and the one that moves it is the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit works around the word of Jesus. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, he will bring you to remembrance of all the things that I've said unto you in my teaching. Isn't that amazing? For that reason, verse 27 writes, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. For that reason, my dearly beloved, we must cherish the Holy Spirit. We must walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit because he is our teacher. He is our guide. He knows exactly what the will of God in our lives should be. And every single one of us is given the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Every single one of us has a different route to take and yet the same will of God. And it takes the mind of the Holy Spirit who comprehend the mind of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to tell us where to go, what places that we must avoid, and the Word of God that we must begin to comprehend. All of these things comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. Now verse 28 writes, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And verse 29 writes, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now, my dearly beloved, the most precious word of God in the whole gospel of Jesus Christ is marked with this promise. Romans 8:28. Remember this promise. "And we know that all things, every single thing, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." My dearly beloved, it does not matter what bad things you're going through. It looks quote-unquote bad temporarily, but I can guarantee you it is probably, very likely, is the knives, the pruning knives of John 15. If it looks a problem for you, then it is a knife. And you see, the way it works is every single knife, which means difficulties, tribulation that is not comfortable to the flesh, so long as it is not due to your sins, will ultimately produce fruits, you see. The fruits of the Holy Spirit must bloom in each and every one of God's children, his saints, in order for us to grow in spirit, in order for us to battle with much more experience, and in order for our eyesight to be bigger and clearer as we grow in spirit. You see, in him was life, and life was the light of men. So a baby life is a baby light. And of course, as we grow, the bigger the life in Christ is, the bigger the light. When you are a baby, you have a candlelight. But when you are fully grown, like an adult, in a human term, just like an adult, we have what we call the lamp of the cherubs written in Ezekiel chapter 1. A lamp is big and bright. It can see afar off the power of darkness. And we will begin to comprehend the things of the Spirit as we grow in the Spirit, just like a little baby grows to a child, grows to a teen, and grows to an adult, and of course, grow to be a father, isn't it? So as we grow physically, our mind, maturity will take over, isn't it? You cannot tell a baby who's just 6 months old to understand calculus. That is impossible. It takes a teenager to be able to even comprehend a calculus or even the fundamental of math, isn't it? You see, all of those things require growth in mental maturity, isn't it? Likewise, spiritual maturity and spiritual comprehension requires the life of Jesus to grow within us. From a baby, a small light, we can only see a little bit of the Word of God. We can only feel a little bit of the things of the Spirit. But as we grow in the Spirit, our spiritual comprehension and maturity will begin to take over. And so as a result, from a baby, we can also grow into adulthood and maturity in Christ Jesus. And of course, as we mature in Christ Jesus, our eyes is wide open into the things of the Spirit. And of course, we understand and hear the voice of our Master much, much more clearer than when you are a baby. Nonetheless, the most important thing is John 15, the pruning knives, will ultimately work together to bloom and bear the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, which include love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, ultimately, what God is interested in is not in the things of the temporal. Many, many Christians have been asking for their needs for the temporal, which is fine. But you see, that is of less importance than bearing the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. For that reason, John 15, verse 16 tells us, and the Word of God says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." You see, the purpose of Jesus Christ choosing us is not just to get temporal needs filled, much more important, of greater importance, would be for us to bear the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, and that our fruit must be stable, must remain. In other words, you cannot feel good today and then feel bad tomorrow. That is not stable, isn't it? We must constantly feel peace and joy and faith in our heart every single day, moment by moment, and so on. So all of those fruits that we bear in the name of Jesus comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. As we walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, as we crucify our flesh and deny ourselves and take up that cross, the Holy Spirit that indwells us will guide us and continue to work in our heart so that we are able to follow our Lord Jesus. You see, that is just amazing, isn't it? For that reason, every single night, whether it is tribulation, whether it is problem, we must respond just like the 5 wise virgins to buy that 1 drop of oil every time we're hit with the knife. Simply because what Satan does when he hits us with problem, and the knife refers to Satan, as Satan hits us with the knife, and we know it is not our mistake, it is due to some other problem that caused us to be subjugated in our flesh, we must quickly turn around our flesh and put our flesh to the cross and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the knife. So recognize that it is a knife. And then, with a heart of thanksgiving from your heart, say, Lord Jesus, I want to praise you. I want to thank you for learning to be patient, for learning to be filled with long suffering, and to learn to have faith. You see, God wants us to exercise our faith so that it would not be just a little faith, but big and perfect faith like Abraham. You see, when Abraham offered Isaac, he was fully ready and mature in the spirit, and his faith is fully grown. But as the Lord God tests his faith, he presented the most beautiful offerings of his faith. Likewise, as God's children, we must be able to proceed and climb up the ladder of faith until our faith becomes a perfect faith, you see. So we begin to bloom some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Likewise, our charity. There are times God puts in front of us somebody who is really irritating, isn't it? And so you will begin to learn how to love, and using the power of the risen Savior and obeying the Holy Spirit, you begin to crucify your flesh. Even though that person can irritate you, recognize that that is the knife of the Lord and you must bloom. And so what you do is, instead of feeling irritated, you crucify your flesh and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. And you ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and to begin to pray in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, surprisingly, will give you that patience and that long sufferings and charity towards that person. That's exactly what happened to me. I remember vividly, years ago, I had a customer. And that old customer of mine, she was a person who is super meticulous. And so she called one day and she accused me of something that I did not do. In normal cases, my dearly beloved, I would be instantly angry and rebut out of anger and argument, isn't it? However, all of a sudden, the voice that came out from my lips was extremely gentle and sweet and full of patience. I was shocked to discover that somebody had overtaken my mouth and my tongue and came out with extreme voice of gentleness and meekness and long-suffering. I was actually shocked to discover that for myself. And I knew instantly it was not me that replied that customer, but rather the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit that indwelt my heart, began to control my heart, my body, and my tongue. And it came out surprising, even for myself, to hear that voice coming out from my own lips. You see, for that reason, verse 28 tells us that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You see, every single knife that cuts across is meant for us to bloom in the Spirit, to begin bearing the fruits of love, bearing the fruits of joy, bearing the fruits of peace and gentleness and long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit must begin to bear slowly but surely under the knives to get better and richer fruits. And John 15 verse 2 tells us, every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruits. You see, much more luscious, much more richer fruits of faith If in the past you were hit with problems, you had shaky faith, now the Lord wants you to begin to be much more better than shaky. It have to be firm. It have to be steadfast faith, great faith, and perfect faith ultimately. Likewise with charity, that we must learn to crucify ugly old flesh that is under the law of sin to the cross. As we practice crucifixions and walking in godliness, we'll begin to bloom. And as we allow the Holy Spirit to overtake us, it is the Holy Spirit that is growing in our body. As the life of Christ grows, because we submit to the Holy Spirit, you'd be very surprised what the Holy Spirit can do out of our lips and out of our mind and out of our body. We will begin to be transformed in the newness of the life of Christ, of His words. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us, do not conform to this world, but rather be transformed with the renewing of your mind according to the Word of God. You see, the Word of God has the power to renew our mind and transform us. As we remove the lies of Satan by reading the Word of God and acting it out, the truth then will overtake our mind and we will begin to grow in the Spirit and walking and looking more and more like Jesus. For that reason, my dearly beloved, ultimately all of those difficulties, all of those nights, all of those problems will only be for our good, to His glory. And verse 29 says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, for that reason, we will ultimately look more and more like Jesus. And at the end of the journey from the temporal world, as we are about to embark from the temporal world into eternity, be sure that we look identical to the image of His Son. And verse 30 says, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now I shall read this particular verse for you in the Amplified Bible. Let me read verse 29 to verse 30. These two verses are very precious in the Amplified Bible. For those whom He foreknew, of whom He was aware and loved beforehand, He also destined from the beginning for ordaining them to be molded into the image of His Son and share inwardly His likeness. And He might become the firstborn among many brethren. And verse 30, I read, and those whom He thus foreordained, He also called, and those whom He called, He also justified, acquitting, made righteous, putting them into right standing with Himself. And those whom He justified, He also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. In other words, my dearly beloved, since God has chosen us even before the foundation of the world to be the sheep, to be the bride of Christ, God will work every single thing around our life, whether big or small, great difficulties or small difficulties, tribulation or problems, they will work around us as knives, and that knife begin to carve in each and every one of our life the image of Jesus Christ, you see. As we grow in the Spirit, the image of Jesus Christ under the pressure, for example, under the carving knives of the Lord, we will surely begin to be carved looking more and more like Jesus. As we grow in the Spirit, the image of Jesus Christ, perhaps on one side, would have to be carved, and then slowly and surely will begin to form the image of His Son. And those fully grown, all the carvings of the image of Jesus Christ will begin to take place more and more. And it says right here, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. You see, it takes the power of a risen Savior and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in order to justify us. In other words, because we have sinned, and our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to take away and pay all of our sin debt in full, and He had risen from the dead and took all of our sins and buried them together, and in the likeness of his Son, we will all rise from being baptized in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is sent into our hearts. And of course, we are now justified. In other words, we no longer have any more sins. We become holy simply because the blood of Jesus is shed on the cross and washed away each and every one of our sins. And in the meantime, because we are made holy by this precious blood, then the Holy Spirit is sent to live and indwell in our heart. You see, the Holy Spirit is holy. And until unless we are holy, he cannot indwell in our heart. Now, what can make us holy? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, my dearly beloved, we are not made righteous by our own conduct or by keeping the laws, not at all, but by faith. Faith in the precious blood of Jesus that washed away each and every one of our sins. For that reason, it says right here, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now someday, once we have reached the destination of his bride, fully grown, and receiving the abundant life of Jesus, as our Lord tells us, he came to give us an abundant life, as we bear much fruit, and grow in the Spirit, looking like Jesus, ready to go into eternity. Keep in mind that the bride will meet with the groom, and we will all enter into heaven. We will be glorified in heaven. We cannot come through in the condition of flesh and blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven now, the Apostle Paul tells us. The kingdom of God. We cannot enter looking like this, full of sins, full of ugliness, not at all. We must be crucified. We must allow the Holy Spirit to begin blooming in our body. As the pruning knives begin to hit us, as he cut each and every layers and of ugly dirt of the characters of sin and replace it with holiness, we will begin to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, think like Jesus, and walk like our Lord Jesus. And then we are met ready once we are fully grown in Christ Jesus at the end of our life, ready to go into eternity, and the Holy Spirit that sealed us will bring us, apart from transforming us and transport us into the glorified body. And for that reason, it says right here, and whom he justified them, he also glorified. And of course, ultimately, as we enter into the feast of the marriage of the Lamb, every single one of us would have to put on the glorified body. You see, we must put on a white raiment, which refers and means spiritual to the righteous act of the saint. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now, my dearly beloved, there are many, many times that the power of darkness would come to accuse us, would bring to us many, many sins that you committed long time ago that you probably don't even remember. I remember vividly many times Satan would put across my mind, especially when I was about to preach. All of a sudden, an ugly thought of accusation come through, which I could not and would never remember, even out of my own memories. The things that's long time ago, totally forgotten. However, the ugly power of darkness will surface such line of thought when you were not a believer. He would accuse them. But praise be the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, that shed his precious blood for us, our Lord Jesus. It takes the blood of Jesus to wash away every single ugly sins that we have committed under the subjugation and enslavement of the power of darkness, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, be aware of that. Those accusations are lies of Satan, simply because the precious blood of Jesus is so powerful. It is able to wash every single sin that we have had committed when we were under sin and, of course, under the hands of the power of darkness. For that reason, we must be alert of the power of darkness. As he accuses us, we must negate those accusations in the name of Jesus, by the precious blood of Jesus, as now we are no longer sinners, but saints in Christ Jesus. And we are cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus. Take, for example, if you were dirty before, your body is full of filth as you play around with mud and you take a shower. And once you take that shower, you are all made clean physically, right? Does it make sense for your neighbor to laugh at you once you take the shower and say, look, you're so dirty? Now, that's an absolute lie of Satan, because now you take a shower, right? And the shower cleanses you from all the dirt. There's no regret of the dirt that you played earlier. It was over with. Likewise, the blood of Jesus made us holy, made us absolutely righteous, and we are no longer under the judgment of the power of darkness. For that reason, right here it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, the power of darkness many times is against us. But we must remember, God is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? And verse 32 writes, he that spare not his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see, the word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God the Father loved us so much. God is love. The Apostle John tells us we love him because he first loved us. My dearly beloved, are you aware that God loves you? He loves you so much that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us. If God gives us his precious son to die on our behalf and give us eternal life. You see, he loves us so much that he was even willing to give us his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf. What is it that is on the earth, the material things that he would withhold? Those are nothing in the sight of God, my dearly beloved. So don't you ever be anxious about anything of the temporal. Focus your mind onto the things of eternal. And of course, the power of darkness would like to accuse us. We would have to get rid of that by the precious blood of Jesus and replace it with truth. That right now we are washed by the precious blood of Jesus. We are his saints, his children, and we are holy in the sight of God because the precious blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As the Apostle John tells us, as we confess our sins and repent of it by the precious blood of Jesus, hallelujah, we are now made righteous in his sight. My dearly beloved, for that reason, we must frequently come before the throne of grace by the precious blood of Jesus. If you get defiled spiritually, if you commit sin, please confess your sins and repent of it so that we would be cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus and not grieve the Holy Spirit that indwell us, so that the Holy Spirit will continue to teach us and lead us into the truth and indwell in our hearts joyfully. And verse 34 tells us, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see, there are many, many Christians out there that the devil would accuse and say, you see, you did such and such a thing and you are under judgment. You are under condemnation. My dearly beloved, the one that is under condemnation is in only two places. One is at the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ was condemned at the cross in order to take away all of our sins upon his body. And he died to pay that penalty of death and cursing on his own body. You see, God so loved the world. He loves each and every one of us. And all it takes for us is just to believe in him. And of course, as we choose to believe in him, he will take away all of our sins upon his own body. Now, if you refuse Jesus Christ, my friend, then of course, you would have to pay that condemnation on your own self. And of course, you'll be judged under the lake of fire. You see, the lake of fire is condemnation, my dearly beloved. For that reason, Christ Jesus took upon himself all of our sins so that when we choose to believe in him, we will not be judged in the lake of fire. He already paid all of the sin debt in full by going down to hell himself. But if you refuse Christ Jesus, and of course, then you'll have to face the payment of your sin debt on your own by going into the lake of fire. You see, I pray that you believe in Jesus, my dearly beloved, and not reject in unbelief and pride, but rather humble yourself and accept the cup of his blessings, a cup of his grace, by faith, trusting in our Savior, trusting in his precious blood, not in religion, in his precious blood and the Holy Spirit to come to overtake us, and his precious blood to wash away all of our sins, and the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to guide us, and let us learn to crucify our flesh and our sins and walk in the newness of the life of Christ by obeying and uplifting the Holy Spirit. And right now, the Word of God tells us that Christ Jesus is risen from the dead and is set down at the right hand of God as the high priest for us on our behalf. The book of Hebrews writes, and here it says, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ prays for his sheep every day? Are you aware of that? The Word of God tells us, Father, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world. Do you know that? Isn't that wonderful that our Lord Jesus Christ prays for his sheep every single day? For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. My dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle and the saint of Christ Jesus, has experienced the wonderful power of the love of Christ. He said the difference between a sheep and a goat, they're all born-again believers. The goat is also born-again believers, but the goat walks in the flesh. And even though the goats are born-again Christians, the goat walks in the flesh and unable to bear and be fruitful. You see, the goat is the third ground, and the goat refused to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit simply because the goat's heart, deep in his heart, it is motivated by self-centeredness, by selfishness. For that reason, even though he is born again of the Spirit of God, he is still self-worshipping. Now you must keep in mind, being born again of the Spirit of God is not difficult. All it takes is confess your sins and repent of it by the precious blood of Jesus. However, being born again of the Spirit of God is merely entering the door of the narrow path. It is not the end of the journey. Now, once you step into the narrow path, the journey is a lifetime. And from that point of the entrance unto the finish line, it takes the power of the love of Christ, the fuel to the car, to drive the car, pure fuel. You see, if you have a car and you got the key, which means the Holy Spirit is given to you as the key, you got the map, which refers to the Word of God, the car needs fuel, isn't it? The car requires fuel, and that fuel must be pure gas. You cannot put orange juice or apple juice or mixed vegetable juice onto the tank of the car, isn't it? It would not run, would it? Not at all. Likewise, the pure fuel that fueled the sheep to the finish line is the love of Christ. You cannot put the wall inside that tank. That wall wouldn't work. Like an orange juice, an apple juice, it wouldn't drive the car, would it? Not at all. For that reason, what the goat essentially did is to use the wall. As Satan lured the goat, and as the goat refused to crucify himself and let the flesh and the wall, which is used by Satan to control him, then what happens? The goat is just performing religion. Of course, he goes to church, read the Bible, and even pray. But the problem is this. He's using the cloak of Christ Jesus as a form of religion, simply because deep down in his heart, what he has is not the love of Jesus, you see. What he has is loving his own self and self-centeredness and self-worship. Isn't that scary? And he failed to perform the first commandment. You see, the greatest of all the commandments says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now the goat could not fulfill this commandment simply because the goat loves himself, his own flesh, and refused to crucify the flesh. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8, verse 13 says, if you do not mortify the deeds of your flesh, you shall die. And if you mortify, then indeed you shall live. You see, we have to crucify our old, ugly, sinful nature that negates with the Holy Spirit and competes with the Holy Spirit. We must at all times crucify them, kill them, and walk in obedience. Don't let your flesh, your covetousness, your anger, your hatred, all of the works of the flesh overtake your body, but rather crucify it in the name of Jesus. Remember his commandment. You see, it is very important to remember his commandment. Our Lord tells us, if you love me, keep my commandment. You see, if we genuinely love Jesus, which is what happened to the sheep, you see, the sheep love Jesus. And his life is Christ-centered, not self-centered, while the goat, even though born again, the sheep are also born again. The difference is the sheep fuel is the love of Jesus. All day long, they're centered around Christ. They would first think, what does the Holy Spirit wants me to do? How about this thing? Do I grieve the Holy Spirit? You see, all day long, the sheep is centered around Christ simply because the sheep recognize that our Lord Jesus Christ had paid in full all of our sin debt, and we cannot even return the gratitude for what our Lord had done for us, and we become his slave by the precious blood of Jesus. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us, you know, glorify in your body, because you have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. And our body is a temple of God, my dearly beloved, and the goat does not recognize that. Now let me ask you a question. Are you the goat or are you a sheep? Look down deep in your heart. What is the motivations in your heart? Do you live for Jesus? Are you living according to his will, or are you still simply worshiping yourself? Yes, I go to church. I'm pretty good. I think I could get in heaven by going to church and being baptized and fellowshipping every week. I think I can get in heaven out of my own strength. My dearly beloved, all of those things are the lies of Satan. You must humble yourself before the Lord and repent of your sins and cry to God for mercy, because you've forgotten that he has bought you with his precious blood, and right now we are his slaves. We no longer have the right of our own to live for our own flesh and self. I pray that you would repent if you have anything that is within your heart that is surrounded by self-centeredness, by self-worship, and refusing to crucify the lust of your eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life called the world. Now the Apostle John tells us, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. My dearly beloved, the goats love the world. Are you one of them? May I ask you to love Jesus, not the world? May you crucify the world and walk with Jesus, and die to your old flesh so that you can live in the newness of the life of Christ, so that you can uplift the Holy Spirit as the Lord of your heart. For that reason, as the sheep is filled by the love of Christ, the sheep is able to run victoriously and overcome every single hurdle of sins with no problem, simply because the sheep is able to abide in Christ Jesus. You see, as the sheep is fueled by the love of Jesus, the sheep is able to constantly abide in Christ Jesus, because the Holy Spirit then will overtake the sheep's heart and strengthen the sheep to grow and grow and grow under the pruning knives, while the goat is constantly abiding outside of Christ, simply because the goat is centered around himself, his own money, his own worship. I want this, I want that. Even though they are born again of the Spirit of God, they're still constantly abiding outside of Christ, and they are unable to bloom. And that is very dangerous, because in the long run, they end up being a dried up branch of John 15, simply because they are not able to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, as they refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to be the Lord of their life. However, The Apostle Paul writes in here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, my dearly beloved, it takes our all in order to finish the journey of the narrow path of the cross. There are a lot of places or churches or even preachers that have discounted the truth of the Word of God. I can tell you one thing. Until unless you run just as a sheep without self and worship the Lord God out of Christ-centeredness, out of the love of Christ, you can never finish that journey, simply because that journey many times require facing persecution, facing distress, even death and peril. And until unless you're ready to die for Jesus, you cannot finish this narrow path, my dearly beloved, simply because the power of darkness, who knows your weaknesses and will threaten you in the area that you are worried, in the area that you're afraid, and here he comes. He will begin to threaten death. If you're afraid of death, he's going to use that against you. If you cannot overcome that death simply because you don't abide in Christ Jesus, then of course you're not going to be able to make it into eternity. You see, it takes my teacher, Miss Esther Wong, her all. She was imprisoned in China for 20 long years, and Miss Esther Wong was ready to die for Jesus. And Miss Esther Wong indeed is a sheep of the Lord. And so when the communists took over and she was betrayed by a young pastor and sold to the communists, the voice of the Lord spoke to her verbally over the air, just as our Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul, and told her that she will face great tribulations ahead of her. And she turned around, even speaking to our Lord, and says, Lord, who did that? And our Lord told her the name of the betrayer, and that her case has been known to the police, the communists, and that she's going to face great tribulation and a chains ahead of her. All of these things were given to her by the Holy Spirit, who spoke to her verbally, and of course our Lord. However, Miss Esther Wong has only one thing in mind. She was filled by the love of Jesus in her heart, and she was ready to die. For that reason, as she was being sentenced 20 years in jail and facing many, many great difficulties, she was able to victoriously overcome every one of those hurdles in her life as she was ready and prepared to die for Jesus. You see, if you don't have the love of Christ in your heart, you're not going to make it. You'll be scared to death, even the thought of jail. And as a result, if you're fearful, you will not make it into eternity. For that reason, the Apostle Paul tells us, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Apostle Paul himself lay his own life, being executed by King Nero, and died in the name of Jesus. But he was joyfully ready to go. And his precious words are so precious, my dearly beloved. And he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course and I've kept the faith. And now there's a crown of righteousness awaiting for me, not just simply for me, but for everyone that love is appearing. My dearly beloved, are you eagerly waiting for our Lord Jesus? Can you claim, like the Apostle Paul, that nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us? I pray, my dearly beloved, that you would run like the sheep, being fueled by the love of Christ. And if you are a goat, may I petition before you to repent of your sins and turn around and repent of your selfishness and self-worship and begin worshiping the Lord and loving Him with all your heart, soul, and mind, so that the Holy Spirit will begin to indwell in your heart and be the Lord of your life. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you to always remember that in all of these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, deeply imprinting in our hearts and mind that all things will always work together for good to them that love God. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.